Richard Pollock from Illegal Curve joins us now. Richie P, what is up, my man?
How you doing, huh?
Doing well. Libel and I hanging out. Lots of baseball talk today, lots of football, but you did a great job on IllegalCurve.com and on the show here on TSN 1290, kind of previewing the restricted free agencies of particularly the big three, Brian Little, Blake Wheeler, and Zach Bogosian. It was a very busy week for Kevin Cheveldayoff, but he got the job done. All three signed to long-term deals. And now we can look back and kind of play Monday morning quarterback. You've done a lot of work on this topic. What did you think of the job Kevin Cheveldayoff did and the final terms on the three deals?
You know, overall, I was okay with it. I have to say that I like the Bogosian terms the best. I probably dislike the Little terms the most, but I'm probably in the majority in that respect. The Wheeler one I thought was a little bit high, but, you know, I'd rather money be spent high on a Jets than on Wheeler than Little, for example. So I thought overall it was a solid job. I didn't love it, but I didn't absolutely hate it either. The Bogosian one to me was the one that inspires the most confidence because I think it has the most upside, and to be honest, it has the most upside to me, and it has probably the least downside as well in terms of Bogosian's role on the team moving forward. So I did like that. I liked the number, 7 years to get him for his prime years. I really thought that was his best job.
You know, I mean, just comparing it to some other deals, I understood, you know, Blake Wheeler and Little kind of getting what they got. And frankly, I'm a big Zach Bogosian fan. I think he's going to be a block. And I think this contract will be, over the long term, very good for the Jets. I do have to admit, I was somewhat surprised that he was able to get 7 years at over $5 million a season, considering the seven-year deal that was signed by Travis Hamonic earlier this season, as well as the terms of Ryan McDonough's. Are we just seeing the fact that if guys are going to commit to Winnipeg long-term, Kevin Cheveldayoff and True North Sports and Entertainment have to maybe grab a few more bills from the wallet?
That's a good question, and I've kind of gone both ways on that in terms of if they have to overpay. I'm not sure they do have to overpay, although that seems to be the perception outside the city for sure. I think we need a few more signings to really indicate whether or not that is the case. With Bogosian, you know, you mentioned Hamonic and McDonough, those guys did have more controllable years, so the Jets were buying out more UFA years. But, you know, your point's well taken. Those two guys are, I think McDonough's a superior player to Bogosian. I think Hamonic right now, you could go both ways on that one. But yeah, those numbers, some thought would draw up at lower. The Carl Alsner deal, that one as well, you know, 2.8, I believe it was, cap hit per year, and he was off of a bridge deal. So
did he act as his own agent in that one? Or what? I remember you talking about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure what he did was Washington said, you know, we'll sign you for 4 years. And he said, well, I'll take 2.5. And it's just like, no, it's the opposite way it's supposed to work. That one I just didn't understand. But you're right. I mean, those contracts, those three taken together would have indicated maybe that he would have signed for less. But overall, I think the part I like the best about that contract is if it doesn't work out and he never becomes a top two pairing defenseman that you really hoped or number one defenseman you hoped, to me, he's not going to be worse than a top four defenseman. So if you're paying a top four defenseman $5 million bucks for the next 7 years, you can do a lot worse than that.
Yeah, look at the Leafs with the Jeff Fingers of the world.
hey, Richie, what about some of the other moves? I mean, Devin Setoguchi, Michael Frolik, the whole offseason picture. This morning, Troy Westwood kind of posed the question to me when we were on air, what should the level of expectation for fans be for this team this year? Playoffs?
the playoffs have to be the expectation, but if you do it by a process of elimination, it's a difficult task. I mean, the division the Jets are in, you have Chicago, who you have to say is a shoo-in in their division.
Definitely.
Yeah, St. Louis is a superior team. I mean, you could throw the Jets forwards up against St. Louis. I think the Jets probably have more top-end talent. St. Louis probably has more depth. St. Louis's D is superior, and their goaltending, you could argue, is superior. Probably coaching as well. So I think St. Louis would be a team that would be above the Jets in their division. And then you get into, you know, Minnesota. And if you think Minnesota's continually on, you know, going to continue to rise up the standings, the Jets have to be better than Colorado, Dallas, and Nashville. And then all the crossover possibilities, you know, in the other division in the West. So if you look at the team on paper, you have to think playoff aspirations, but if you do it by process of elimination, it makes you a little bit more wary of their, you know, of their possibility of making the playoffs.
Let's talk just off-season overall for Kevin Cheveldayoff. I know people around the city for a while were clamoring and saying they didn't understand how the Jets could have so many players file for arbitration as restricted free agents. And, you know, I went on the show going, hey, well, hey, if they actually get to arbitration, you can complain. But anyone familiar with this process knows that that's just a date to force the team to two sides to come together and get a deal done, which is exactly right. Now, then afterwards, a lot of people kind of questioning the fact that the Jets did sign all these players to long-term deals because, and I'll paraphrase it, but that this is just the old Atlanta Thrashers and they weren't any good. Let's face it, this team has grown a lot in a couple years. And more importantly, what in the world was Kevin Cheveldayoff to do? Just, you know, get 1 year on an arbitration deal for Blake Wheeler for a bit less and then let him walk in unrestricted free agency? To me, this was a no-brainer and frankly surprised anyone because they have told us and told Jet fans that this is exactly what they were going to do, try and preserve this core, add around it, and create a winning team.
Yeah, you know, this offseason has been, and that's well put, and in this offseason, they've tried to obviously augment that core, and they've signed that core to long-term deals. Now, they're almost up against the cap, and the cap is going to move up, and once the Canadian TV deal is up after next year, you're going to see the cap rise quite a bit, and I expect it to rise quite a bit, even if there wasn't a big TV deal coming up. So, you know, some of these deals will look more favorable down the road. The key to me for Kevin Cheveldayoff is going to be how these draft picks turn out, because I don't think the core as it is right now, there's a lot of money in, you know, Enstrom and Bogosian and Little and Wheeler and, you know, Ladd and Kane and Pavlik. And if that core, I don't think that core can get the team to the next level. And I don't mean playoffs, I mean the next level. But if the young talent they've drafted, you know, Jacob Trouba, Mark Scheifele, Morrissey, Lowry, all those guys, if those guys start developing and exceeding expectations, then I think that's Kevin Cheveldayoff's plan at work.
Richie, from the reaction that we get on Twitter whenever we talk about the core, the player who gets the most flack for the contract he signed last season and being part of this core and going forward has got to be Andre Pavlik from what I've seen. How do you feel about him and that what you just said?
Well, Toby Enstrom, if you listen to your show.
Take it to the, well, and believe me, I do. But Pavlik, for even still, if you listen to our show, does Pavlik have what it takes, in your opinion, to take this team to that next level you just talked about, Richie?
I think goaltending, you know, I think Pavlik, to be honest, is an average goaltender. I don't think he's above average. I don't know yet if he's below average. I know people like to cling on to certain statistics, but I think a lot of times it has to do with the style of play, the defensive awareness and ability of the players in front of him. And, I mean, I've watched the Jets. You guys have watched the Jets for the past, you know, year and a half, 2 years now. This team does not play good defense. This team has a lot of structural issues in terms of their back end, and that's obviously a concern I have going into next season because nothing has really been done about that. But if Pavlik plays, you know, for example, if you were to drop Pavlik in St. Louis and you were to take Brian Elliott and put him in Winnipeg, I wouldn't be shocked if their numbers were completely reversed. So I think he's an adequate netminder. I'm not sure if he's yet reached the level of the 3.9 per year deal, but he can do it, I think, physically. And the question is, can he focus enough is one thing. But the second thing is, can the team play good enough defense to make him look maybe as good as he might be?
That was well put, and Darren Pang said something of some very similar things yesterday on H&L when we talked about exactly that in his evaluations of goalies. Richie, great stuff. You guys are back on the air on the even though it's a long weekend this Saturday.
Well, we're on the air, meaning me, Remus, and Drew. Ezzy is continuing his extended vacation, I'll say.
Taking a maintenance day.
Yeah, he's taking a maintenance day, you know. We're hopeful that he'll be back next week. He's penciled us into his schedule, but if he doesn't show up next week, then we'll have to have a little bit of a group meeting.
I hear you. Well, of course. Now, you guys are going on early, right? 10 to 12, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, we're on 10 to 12, Hass, and then a 12 to 2 replay.
It sounds great. That's Illegal Curve. You can check it out at illegalcurve.com and right here on TSN Saturdays on the station. Richie, great stuff. Thanks for doing this.
Always a pleasure, boys.